is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up, we'll be doing mean texts in about a little less than 15 minutes from now. So you still have time, 710-710, the Mac and Jack's text line. We will get to your mean text before we turn things over to the Mariners pregame show. But before that, Dave, there's a brand new book out that is going to be flying off the shelves in time for the holidays, and it's co-written. There are two writers on this book, Keyshawn Johnson and Bob Glauber. But I said, get us the guy that's really the brains behind the operation. We don't have time for both of these guys. I need to give me the brains. Give us the brains, the man with the plan, and he is with us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. He is our buddy Bob Glauber. Hello, Bob.
I'm going to tell Keyshawn you said that.
You tell him I said that. Where is he? He's bailing on us today. What happened to him?
He just had a conflict. It's the, don't get him. He's going to come on. He can reschedule. So
all right. Well,
I apologize on his behalf.
We'll reschedule with Keyshawn, but we've got you. You guys co-wrote this book together. Now take us back. How does this pairing happen? How do you and Keyshawn get together to write a book? Before we get into what it's about, is this go back to your days of covering the Jets and everything, or how does this come to fruition?
I mean, ultimately, yes, because I first met him 25 years ago when he was the number one overall pick with the Jets. And, you know, he was a great person to cover, very compelling, very quotable, very interesting. And I got to know him pretty well as a beat writer covering the team. So, you know, we kept in touch, and I followed his career. We've always, you know, kind of been – you know, in touch. But the last couple of years I've been thinking about this topic of, you know, integration in the NFL, where the league came from, and, you know, just curious. I'm a writer. I'm a journalist. I'm curious about stuff. So I gave him a call about a year and a half ago, and I had this idea of this book about, it's really the reintegration of the NFL. You know, there had been a ban on black players for 12 years. And I wanted to see if Keyshawn might be interested in partnering on it because it was important. It just felt right, right? So we have a conversation, and I'm talking to him about the subject, and he's like, he didn't know a lot about it, as did I. I mean, I cover the sport. I'm paid to know about this sport, and I didn't know about it. So, you know, we had a nice chat, and he says, let me think about it. It really took 2 minutes to connect on it, and then he did the next day say, let's do this, and it's been full speed ahead ever since. It's really a fascinating story because, you know, the NFL reintegrates the year before Jackie Robinson is the first Major League Baseball player to break the color barrier in the modern MLB. So It's a really fascinating story. Four guys who broke the color barrier, Kenny Washington and Woody Strode with the Rams, and then Bill Willis and Marion Motley with the Browns back in 1946. And this is the 75th anniversary of that first season with these first trailblazing African-American pro football players. And, you know, the rest, as they say, is history. And this is just a phenomenally diverse league. And it was once an all-white league.
Yeah, I can't wait to read it, Bob. It's really fascinating. I saw on the NFL Network, they did a thing on Fritz Pollard, who was, mm-hmm. you know, that was before the, you know, the ban. And
right.
So, you know, it seems like they've got a lot of good stuff as far as film and everything. But doing the research and everything, where did you go mainly to get the story together?
Well, a number of places, and you know, Fritz Pollard, you know, came up a lot in the research because he played in the first season of the NFL back in 1920. Went to Brown in Providence, Rhode Island, and was a trailblazing, you know, pioneers now in the Hall of Fame. So a number of things. Talked to Fritz Pollard's grandson, Fritz Pollard III. You know, newspapers. Newspapers.com is a tremendous resource. Thank God it exists because it takes you back to so many different publications. And then there are people who are still alive who are, you know, have had direct connections to these players. And that includes Bill Willis's children, who are now in their 70s.
Wow.
The daughter-in-law of Woody Strode, who lives in North Dakota. and she was unbelievable. She'd been married to his son, who died of cancer a couple of years ago. And there was a guy, and Dave, tell me if you remember this name in NFL officiating, Jim Tunney Jr.?
Yep. Yeah, I actually played with or recruited one of his nephews. Yeah.
All right. So Jim Tunney Jr. is 92 years old. In doing some research about Kenny Washington, I saw that his coach in high school, at Lincoln High School, in the 1930s, was Jim Tunney Sr. And I'm like, I wonder if there's a relationship there. Uh-huh. Ask the NFL, hey, you got a number for Jim Tunney Jr.? And this guy, Mike Signora, says, I have no idea why you would want to talk to Jim Tunney Jr., but yeah, here's his info. Called him up, spoke to him, 92, sharp as a whip. His father was Kenny's high school coach. Jim Tunney Jr. met Kenny Washington when he was 6 years old. So that was really cool. And then, you know, at the end of Kenny Washington's life, he died a very young man at 52. He'd been ill with a rare lung and blood disorder. And Jim Tunney Jr. Knew him and saw him once at a Dodgers game, looking very frail, very ill, and organized a fundraiser with celebrities throughout the Los Angeles area to help raise money to defray his medical expenses. So, you know, things like that make these, you know, for a journalist, you know, a fascinating, you know, you find these gems, and then, you know, Keyshawn will, you know, kind of go at it from a different dynamic. You know, he relates his story of growing up in Los Angeles and not knowing about these guys, having played 10 miles from where Kenny Washington and Woody Strode played in high school. And he was kind of blown away by not knowing it. And that's why, you know, we're both pretty passionate about bringing these stories to light, because they should be known, like Jackie Robinson is celebrated. And you know, next year, when it's the 75th anniversary of integration in Major League Baseball, they're going to have a huge celebration about Jackie Robinson's life. They do it every year anyway. So it's time that the NFL kind of recognizes the pioneers of integration in its own sport.
Well, and what's interesting is, it wasn't Kenny Washington and Woody Strode, weren't they teammates of Jackie Robinson at UCLA?
That's correct. Yep. Jackie Robinson transferred, well, he went to UCLA after 2 years of community college at Pasadena, and he played on the same team with them in 1939. And they were Kenny and Jackie were in the same backfield with an undefeated team. It was a legendary season in UCLA football, unbeaten, and they tied USC, Keyshawn Johnson's USC, in the last game of the season, nearly won a national championship, and would have had they won that game, but it finished in a scoreless tie, which back then was a very dramatic game. Now you'd look at it like, oh my God, how can you stand a scoreless tie? But you know, in the old days of football, a scoreless tie was drama packed.
Hey Bob, I see that that Paul Brown's name comes up. Who are some of the heroes as far as getting the NFL reintegrated?
Well, you know, Paul Brown to me is kind of the hero as far as a person of influence purposely bringing black players into pro football. Now, when Paul Brown founded the Browns, it was in the All-America Football Conference, and it was a direct competitor of the NFL, and there were, I believe, 10 teams that first season. And Paul Brown, you know, he's known for strategy. He's known as the smartest coach, perhaps, in NFL history. Bill Belichick calls him the greatest coach ever. And he should be known as that, you know, with his innovative ideas with football. But he also had the courage to sign the only two black players in the league, Bill Willis and Marion Motley, both of whom he had coached, Willis at Ohio State and Motley in the service. I never knew this, but, and I don't know if you guys know this, but during the World War II, there were these tremendous teams that were in the service, like the Great Lakes Naval Station outside of Chicago, had a football team, and Paul Brown was a commissioned officer, and he coached the football team. Marion Motley, Bud Grant was on that team. Other, you know, future NFL players, because they all, you know, enlisted in the war, and if they didn't fight, they played football. So Paul Brown had these connections, and he played black players when he was a great high school coach in Massillon, Ohio. So it really was nothing to him, but he understood that societally speaking, it was a big deal. So he kind of quietly signed Motley and Willis, knowing that it was going to be controversial. And those guys dealt with a lot, as did Kenny and Woody in that first year with the Rams. Now the reason there are no real heroes in Los Angeles is that integration had to be forced on the Rams and thus the NFL. The Rams moved from Cleveland, partly because Paul Brown was starting up the Browns, and they wanted to play in L.A. And the people of, influential reporters in L.A., thank God for the press, right, fought the idea and said, if you are going to play in a public building, the L.A. Memorial Coliseum, you need to give black players a chance to play it, with your team. And the Rams were certainly taken aback by that. They were like, they thought they were going to just move and get rubber stamped. Pro football comes to L.A. So there were a bunch of influential sports writers, including a guy named Hallie Harding, who stood up to the L.A. Coliseum Commission and said, this should not go through unless this team integrates, because it's a public building. African Americans helped build this building. They pay taxes. They fought in the war. If they are able to, fight alongside white soldiers to defeat Adolf Hitler and the Japanese Empire, why shouldn't they be given the chance to participate in American society on an equal footing? So Kenny Washington was the first player signed, and soon thereafter, Woody Strode, his best friend, joined him on the Rams team for that 46th season. And, the rest really is history. It's just been a, upswing in participation among African Americans ever since, to the point now where the league is 70% African American.
The book is called The Forgotten First: Kenny Washington, Woody Strode, Marion Motley, and Bill Willis, and the Breaking of the NFL Color Barrier, written by Keyshawn Johnson and Bob Glauber, who's our guest here. When does it come out? When's the release date on this?
It's out, Bobby.
Is it out?
The release date was Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Hot off the presses, baby.
Just in time for the holidays. How about that? So you can get it anywhere books are sold, I assume, right?
Anywhere books are sold, yep. The Forgotten First online. Get it on Amazon or Walmart and any bookstores that have it.
And I'm going to just say this right now. I've got a collector's edition because there's a misprint on here. Mine says written by Keyshawn Johnson and Bob Glabera.
There's an A at the end. Bob, I have to tell you, I told the publisher about this, and I texted him a picture. I was laughing. I was cracking up.
You thought I photoshopped it, but I don't know how to Photoshop.
I thought so. I thought you were busting my chops. So I sent it to him. Bob, he freaked out. He like, oh, my God. You don't want this, Bob. This is a misprint. So I quickly checked. I had copies of the actual book, the hardcover.
Yeah.
And I checked, and I said, oh, we're okay. The name is spelled correctly on the cover and on the spine of the book. So
yeah, I've got a collector's edition right here. This is not going anywhere. All right, hey Bob, it's great to talk to you at any point. But congrats on the book, a great book, available wherever books are sold. The Forgotten First. Check it out. Written by Bob Glauber and Keyshawn Johnson. Let's talk again soon, my friend.
Sounds good, Bob. Appreciate it, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Bob.
There you go. Bob Glauber, one of the great NFL writers out there, has been doing it forever. You see, he's an award winner, Bob Glauber. He's very good at it. So brand new book that's going to be very, very interesting, a great read. So check that out. Time for Mean Texts. Doesn't matter how much time we've got left. We always find time to squeeze in a few of your shots. 710-710. By the way, this will be the last day you can text into 710-710. The number changes starting on Monday.
Remember, the last four are ESPN.
That's right.
The first six. Yeah. Well, it's 206.
421.
There you go.
421.
ESPN.
Yeah, so that makes it a little easier. Now all you have to remember is 421 because everybody knows 206 is the Seattle area code.
206-421 ESPN will be the number you text into starting Monday. Right now it's 710-710. So we squeeze in a few of these before we turn you over to the Mariners pregame show. What do we got, Lefko?
Here's a strong one out of the gate. 253. Dave Wyman talking about hockey is like listening to Stephen A. Smith talk about UFC.
Oh, that's not kind, Dave. I'm just telling you that right now.
I'm okay with that. I told you what I'm doing with hockey. I'm going to go find every fancy, like the equivalent of single high safety and three tech. He's in the three tech. I'm going to get all that stuff and just try to act like I'm an expert
just
by
throw
using
it out
fancy
there.
Words.
Just use it out of play, totally out of context. Just throw it out there.
Yep, exactly.
All the cool hockey phrases.
Here's a really good one. They must have taken your advice, Bob, and went and read Adam Ray's tweet. 360, if I worked in a morgue and happened to collect some 3,000 male organs for fun, I'd leave your guys's on your bodies.
Oh, that's not nice.
Oh, that's awesome.
Probably only because you'd have too many by that point. Wasn't that one of Adam Ray's? Like, what?
Well, 2,000? The story said 3,000 male organs collected by this person. And he said, so many questions. Question number one, wasn't 2,000 enough?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I wanted to get this one because it was just kind of snuck in there. Heaps talking about baseballs like Wyman talking about picking up women.
Oh, wow.
That's really harsh for Jake.
Shots at
because
both of you guys.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, that means
well, you've got one
tragic.
Of the all-time great pickup lines ever that led to your marriage and your yeah. incredibly happy life. And it was?
You get sweaty. When you cheer. She's a cheerleader. Well, don't you guys get sweaty?
Were you sweating when you said that? Were you
no, I instantly started sweating afterwards. Inside, I'm like Chris Farley. Stupid!
Oh!
And you know what she said? We don't sweat. We perspire.
And you said, that's
she
it.
She bailed me out.
I love this girl.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Well, people love to watch us on the stream and then comment on your guys' appearances, which isn't fair. You're on radio. You don't have to look good, but
yeah.
I guess you do. Because the 206 says, looks like Dave is dressed for date night tonight.
He's got his Worcester football shirt Worcester on. Colts.
My wife has one of these, like in a smaller size.
Thing so one and thing two.
I'm gonna make her wear it tonight. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to sit on the couch or maybe go up into the fart sack and watch television all night.
The fart sack. Is that what you call the bed?
The bed.
The fart sack.
It's
very romantic. Hun, meet you up in the fart sack.
Actually, speaking of that one, this is a mean text on the Oakland A's. 425, Mark Canna looks like he's always smelling your farts.
He does.
He's got that punchable face, man.
So about Fridays and farts, I don't know why that shows up a lot.
By the way, did you notice how he is in between every pitch? Did you pay attention to that at all with Canna?
No.
He goes through some weird little, like, you can see the wheel spinning, like, okay, I gotta open my hip here, I gotta bring this through, I gotta, like, you could see he's got a checklist, and he's just taking a lot of time in between pitches.
Okay, because I saw him, like, shaking his head, like he was arguing with himself.
He probably is. He's just ultimately obnoxious and very punchable.
Yeah. All right, I probably won't be able to get through this one. Disclaimer. 213. Lefko looks like a guy who prefers to use the public restrooms for, quote, networking opportunities.
Hold on. That has to be from somebody we know.
That could be an Adam Ray special.
That
right
is
there.
An Adam Ray special right
Network
there.
Network opportunity.
Networking.
This is, I believe, then another Adam Ray special. Bob carries a lucky rabbit's foot around for good luck. Dave just carries around a regular human foot.
I got a keychain attached to it.
Oh, he's on a roll today.
Big day for body parts, then.
Adam Ray.
Yeah, again, if you missed his tweet, which I thought was hilarious, responding to a story, check it out on Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy, or at Bob Stelton, I retweeted it. It's funny. It's very, very good.
I don't know what brought up your old Schmedia Mariners t-shirt for this texter, but the 425 says, Bob's side hustle is selling pics of him in that Schmedia Mariners t-shirt to divorcees.
To divorcees.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be selling for very much. It's not a flattering look.
Bob's still of dating age.
I'm still of dating. That's right. I'm back in the mix these days. Back in the mix, Dave. Got to get back out there. Thank God I haven't expired, that I haven't got past my dating age.
I had to make sure we had no good ones coming in, because sometimes you get some good
ones at
late
the end.
Ones.
Like
yeah,
a flurry
yeah.
at the end.
You get a flurry at the end, so hold on while we wait for those here. We got a few more. After we came on yesterday, you guys were very excited, and why not? The Mariners had a big win. The 206 said, Bob has the energy of a little retriever puppy today. Go, Bob. Fetch. Yes. Good job.
I was fired up. Mariners got me fired up, man. I was excited. Love
you
watching
love baseball.
Team. I
you
love
the Mariners.
I'm a baseball honk, and I'm a long-suffering Mariner fan like everybody in our audience. And when this has been a great season. It's been so much fun.
I have to admit that, like, your enthusiasm has rubbed off on me, that I'm equally excited.
You've had fun.
Oh, I've had a blast.
You look forward to the games every night.
Well, and like we always talk about, when there's not a game at night, like, oh, sucks.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
There's no game.
No game. You go home, just go, what do we do? What do we do?
Got nine more.
Anything else?
Yeah, we got a couple more we can squeeze in here. 213, Dave has the face of a guy who gets into fights at gas stations. Is that true?
Oh, hold on a minute.
He's thinking, has that happened?
Uh-oh.
I don't think if that's happened or not. No. Not at a gas station. Hotel lobby, bowling alley.
Bar.
Bar. Of course, bar.
Bar. What a cliche.
Yeah. Maybe a Jack in the Box.
Anything else?
Okay, go ahead.
I can squeeze in one more real quick. I got about 30 seconds. Bob wears that shirt so much that I can smell it through my computer.
Which one?
I don't
this
know.
One?
Maybe the merit.
I've never seen that
whatever.
Shirt before, Bob.
You wear a shirt so much.
I do wear a shirt.
Bob and I have very sophisticated
we're fashion plates.
I think we got to clear out now, though.
All right. That does it for us. Thanks to our guests. If you missed any of today's show, check it out on the podcast page, 710sports.com. Talk to you on Monday with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.